Up until a couple of years ago, Bob and Nate and I, my boys, we used to go out, we used to go down to the Susquehanna and the Juniata River, and we'd float down to the Susquehanna and down past Harrisburg. We took three canoes and built a big platform on them, and in the middle of the platform there was a pole we stuck up, and then we had a canvas tied over. We made a tent so we could spend the night, and because we got tired of getting eaten by bugs on the shore, and really nasty bugs on the shore. But one time we were just where the Juniata meets the Susquehanna, we were anchored one night, set it up, built a little campfire in there and everything on that. We were having a good time, and all of a sudden we felt unnatural movement. And I think Todd was there on that. Yeah, Todd was there too. And unnatural movement. And we got up, and here we're floating out to where the Juniata meets the Susquehanna. It seemed like it was the middle of the night. And it's like, no. And we threw the anchor in and everything, but it wasn't on a solid rock. It was on sand or goo or junk that's in the Juniata. I don't know what it was anchored to, but it wasn't anchored very tightly. And we scrambled like crazy for sure. But I love that song, "On Christ the Solid Rock I Stand." You know what? We are in a society today that needs a solid rock, because everything in our society is liquid, from psychology to morality to everything else. And our society is just, I'm not against society, all right? It just needs godly people, okay? But everything's shifting in our schools, in our neighborhoods, everywhere. And we need the solid rock. And do not compromise the Word of God. It is a solid rock. It is the same today, yesterday, tomorrow, and forever. It will not change. And you can count on it. And you can trust it. When the Bible says, when God speaks, it is truth and can be trusted, even though it doesn't look like it makes sense to us. Even though it goes against our nature, and we want to worry, and we want to fear, and we want to fret about all these things, God's rock is a solid rock, and we can stand on that rock, and don't ever be ashamed of that. And you're going to look like an unusual person in this society. For one thing, you will have peace in the midst of the storm. When the water is swelling and going fast, you will have peace in that, because your trust is in Jesus Christ. And we are called to trust God with our heart and soul and mind and strength, and not be worried about it. We have things that are going to worry about us, but then we take it and we cast our cares on God. He is the solid rock. Not everything good's going to happen to us, and there's going to be bad things that are going to happen to us. But we can trust what God says. So when you're in those struggles, the fears start to rise up in you, and you pray it doesn't seem like enough, go to God's Word. Go to the solid Word of God. Read it and trust it. And let your fear there. Don't anchor to the goo in the Juniata River. Okay? So, there. Thanks for coming. And, no, I'm just kidding. Yeah, right, like I'm done already. Jerusha, you did an amazing job. I tell you what, you don't have to raise your hands, but who wouldn't support her in that ministry? Come on, it just, you fall in love with her when she's up here. I mean, I'm still love my wife, just a different kind of love, you know. But I can't wait to support her. I can't wait to see what she does. I was saved in a Good News Club, you know. And I love Child Evangelism Fellowship and what they do. And I see her afterwards and support her. It's just, you know, you're nasty if you don't. So anyway, I don't say that about many missionaries. They aren't as cute as she is when they're up here, you know. But anyway, thank you. You did a great job sharing. That was excellent. And pray for her as she shares the second service. That it's really the second service is kind of harder, because you think I already said that, and I'm not sure, and it confuses your mind. You just kind of have to erase the first service and start over again. But you did really well. And the reason I liked it, she serves KFJ, right? She is an amazing KFJ, working in her kids here. She's not saying, oh, I think I want to, you know, not have a real job and go out and do harder missionary work, all right? She serves here all the time in youth group. She's an amazing girl in youth group. God is working in her. And it's just one way we can get behind her. And just, if God's calling her towards this, let's encourage her and let's support her. And so cool. Thank you, Jerusha, for doing that. I appreciate it. We're talking about from a non-believer to a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ. We're looking at Peter in the Bible. We've been following Peter, the life of Peter, and where he starts out a non-believer. He comes to know Christ. He learns. He makes mistakes. He's an awesome guy. He just kind of says what he wants to say out there, kind of a guy. He's pretty cool. And then he denies Jesus, and then he repents later. Jesus sees him. He sees what God's done. Now God's changing his life. And two weeks ago, I think Bob talked about, you know, day of Pentecost, and the Pentecost came, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Now we're going to see a total change in Peter's life, all right? A total change where he was just on his own before, and he was saying stuff that was awesome and doing stuff that was awesome. Then he'd fall back into that fear of, oh, I'm going to sink, and what are people going to think of me? And I said I was going to go with Christ to the cross, but now it scares me, and he runs away. He gives in to his fear. He runs away. That was a whole bunch of running. And he gives in to his fear, and he just fails and lets God down like crazy. Now you're going to see a total change in him. Because now he's Spirit-filled. Now, there's a lot of churches that teach, I want to tell you, you know what Spirit-filled is, right? When you accept God's forgiveness for your sins, you get, I'm God, I'm a sinner, please forgive me, I believe that you died on the cross, you rose again, and I'm going to accept your gift of salvation. What happens at that moment? You're Spirit-filled. You're Spirit-filled. There is no extra filling, but you're Spirit-filled. All of God takes up residence, lives inside. Now you're going to see, as we watch Peter's life, totally, totally, same guy, same boldness, same, I'm going to just speak, but totally him and with God's power in him. It is so cool. And so Jesus leaves the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. We're in Acts chapter 2, and this is a speech that Bob was talking about, Acts 2, 22 to 24. Fellow Israelites, listen to this. This is right after the tongues that were like fire came on him, the Holy Spirit, and he's speaking to the crowd. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you with miracles, wonders, and signs which God did among you through him. As you yourselves know, this man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge. I love that. I mean, he's teaching like huge theology to these people that think they're drunk, that think the disciples are drunk at this point, that Jesus was handed over to the people by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross, but God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. And 3,000 people got saved that day, Bob told us. It's just so cool. 3,000 people were added to the 120, so 3,120 Spirit-filled believers. And what they did in Acts 2, 42 to 47, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs. This is cool. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together in unity, had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need, or some were missionaries for CEF. And every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. You had a group of believers, okay? And they were just kind of like regular believers. They devoted the couple things they did. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Now, that's interesting, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. You know what that's like? You devoted yourself to Bob's teaching, okay? Now, the emphasis isn't going to go on me. We'll see that later on. But these people devoted themselves to church. Church was a priority. We talked about that before. Doesn't mean you can't miss church. I totally encourage you, and you better, men, take your family on a vacation this summer sometime, and you have my blessing to miss 1, 2, or 3 Sundays. But I don't bless you after that. Because after 1, 2, or 3 Sundays, what happens? It's so nice not to have to get up and go to church. And it's cool. And after a while, it's the summer off. And after a while, it's September and October. And you kind of fade away. They devoted themselves. They were devoted to it. They came. I'm sure they didn't all come every time. But they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. And when you're devoted to a teaching and devoted to listening and listen on a regular basis, not everything, there's rarely a Sunday morning where people get up and say, oh, that was awesome. I am so different. No, you know, it's an accumulation of little teachings and growing and spiritual growth, going from milk and up into the Word of God, little by little by little. And so they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. That's why they were in unity. That's why they devoted themselves. And what is the apostles' teaching? What in the world were they teaching? A lot of you have one in your lap. The Bible. They were teaching and making the Bible as they went. The Holy Spirit was inspiring them 100% truth as they went. They were teaching the Word of God. God was revealing it to them. They devoted themselves to the Bible. They devoted themselves to fellowshipping together. There was unity, the breaking of bread. They were remembering Jesus' death. They devoted themselves to prayer, talking to God. And I don't know if there's any magical secret in it, but those things are awesome for your spiritual life. And if you don't have those things in your spiritual life is only going to get so big and you're going to hit the ceiling. That is just, my message today is a whole bunch of different thoughts, okay? And I cut my big thought out because I'm going to do that in another week or two. But a whole bunch of little thoughts, and maybe sometimes I only have little thoughts. I was just amazed I had a big thought. Anyway, but a bunch of little thoughts. You devote yourself to those things. And if you want to walk away with something that will help you grow, you devote yourselves to those things right there. You devote yourselves in unity to those things. And it says everyone was filled with awe, you know, all that. And when you do that, everyone was filled with awe and the mighty signs and wonders. They were doing miracles. The mighty signs and wonders. Where are the mighty miracles and signs and wonders in our church today? Okay, with elders, we pray for people that are sick and stuff like that. And sometimes they're healed and sometimes they're not. But we really encourage them to whatever God brings into your life. This is God's business. And God, you're a rock. And if I ask you to heal me and you don't, then you have a better plan for my life than what I want. But where are the signs and the wonders and all those kind of things? And I was going through this. I was saying, I think we don't see the signs and wonders anymore. We don't see the miracles happen. So today, I bring you a miracle. Okay? I'm not going to do a miracle. I want to tell you a miracle that happened about a month ago that not hardly any of you guys know about, but you are a major part of it, that if you talk about a miracle, this was awesome, okay? No one was healed. Sick people were still sick, okay? No one was healed, and, you know, that's cool. But a really cool miracle was, you remember about a month, month and a half, maybe 2 months ago, there was a Spanish church Christian, and Jimena, his wife, were here, and they brought their Spanish team, and they led us in worship that day, and they shared a little bit about their church. Remember them? Well, when they were done, the elders got to thinking about them. They are just, Christian and Jimena left, where are they from? Chile. Yeah, where it's really cold. And they like last night, they just felt God wanted them to go to the United States to be missionaries. So they had really good jobs. I met with them. They were telling us their story. And next time they come, I'm going to have them tell their story. They had really good jobs for the government and all kinds of work. And they felt God calling them to go to the United States to be a missionary to Spanish-speaking people. So they sold their house and everything they had, and they just left without raising support, without going to a missions board or anything like that. And they came here. They ended up in Harrisburg and Lebanon and worked in Lebanon in a Spanish church, and they planted a church in Harrisburg. They've never had any support. A church in Harrisburg, an Ephraim church over in somewhere over there, gave them a house that was on the property, and they could rent the house. They didn't have any house payments or anything like that, so their bills were real low. Some churches supported a little bit and things like that. And about the time that they came to the church, the church needed the house, and they were going to sell the house to someone else. I'm not sure what, but there was a for sale sign in their yard, and the church told them, "We're selling the house. You're going to have to find a place to live. And they're like, "Man, where are we going to go? We've had this free housing for a long period of time, and they didn't know where they're going to live." And it kind of worried him. And I know it worried Christian, but his wife kept telling him, "Now, listen, God took care of us from the very beginning. He is still that rock, right? He's still that rock. He's still the solid rock. We can trust him. We don't see any way around this," because they had no money. Everything they went into their church and their ministry and stuff that they planted, and it's growing. And she kept reminding them of this. And so the elders got together, the last elders meeting, and we decided that God has really blessed this church, and we don't need to save for the future as a church, okay? We keep a little bit in there, $50,000+ in there, but anything over that, we really want to bless other people and church plants. We're saving, we're tithing the thing, you know, we're looking for church planters to support. And so the elders wrote a $10,000 check out to their church. And we went up, Vicky and I met them for lunch, Jimena and his wife, and we met them for lunch about a month ago. Jimena and her husband, Christian, and we met them for lunch, and we talked through the lunch, and they were just telling us their whole situation. Well, halfway through, we gave them the $10,000 check for their church, and they were like amazed. They just about cried and broke down, and it's such a blessing to their church, because that's some of their salary comes out of that and stuff, and no one really, there's just a few small supporters to the church, and the people are mostly brand new believers that don't tithe and you don't really kind of know what the Bible says, and they're teaching them, and they were just thrilled. And then they went on to tell us their story, their testimony, how they sold everything, and now their house is for sale. And they're like, just last night, Christian was getting, and we just sat down, we prayed, reminded God that He has always taken care of us, and we can trust Him. We don't know how we're going to do it, and their house is for sale. People are coming to look at it and everything, and we just don't know. And little did they know, but the elders decided to give them personally a $7,000 check on top of the $10,000 to the church, written out to them personally with no strings attached because they'd never had support. I pulled it out of my wallet, handed it to them, and go on vacation, no strings, nothing, whatever you need it for, and gave it to them. And they were just, because they were just saying last night that God takes care of them. God will never let them down. And here we pulled out another check and gave to them personally. And they just wept, and they were so thankful and everything like that. They had an appointment when lunch was done that day. They had an appointment with the bank to go get all their funds together, see what they have. And they had a house they were looking at, but they know they couldn't afford it. And so we had given them that $1,000 check. They left from there, drove right to the bank. They got all their stuff together. What did I say? $7,000. Yes. Yeah. And that's an important, in the miracle, that's an important number to remember. It is. They went to the bank. An hour later, they met at the bank, and they did all the paperwork and all kinds of stuff. And they said, how much money are we going to need? And you know what the bank lady said? $7,000 you're going to need for a down payment on this house. He reached into his wallet and said, this much right here? It's like an hour. The day that they needed it, they could have worried and they could have been frustrated, and it was really hard. But put their little note up here. This is what they wrote me. He pulled out of his check the exact to the penny of what the bank lady said you need an hour after God supplied it for them, and they had no idea it was coming. And I know it's hard to read, but hello, mi amigo. I'm going to try to speak Spanish, but I won't, okay? I let you know the offering for us as a family, it was the same amount we need for the house. God knew it after our lunch in Fiesta, Mexico. That's a really good place to eat. The manager of the bank said, you will need $7,000 for the down payment. And it's God's provision for them. You want to know where the miracles are? And I've been waiting for weeks to share that with you. It's just so awesome. I really thank the elders. And you know what? You, every single one of you, was involved in that miracle because you give. And I thought, well, if we tell people that we have that much money we can give to a church, are they going to stop giving? And I'm thinking, I told a couple people this, the men's prayer breakfast, and they said, well, it makes me want to give more. You know, and it's so cool what God does. And you know what? We don't often see absolute to the minute and to the penny miracles like that. But can you picture? I just think, I couldn't wait to share that with you. It is such an awesome celebration. And someone almost started to clap. And let's thank the Lord for that. That is so cool, man. See, I'm lucky to be your pastor because I knew that before you did. So I'm awesome. Anyway. But I can't keep secrets, see, till this long. But I was so excited about that, you know. And there are so many, when God's people are growing, when God's people are learning, there are so many things. There are so many miracles and awesome things that happen. I wish I could, some people share with me. So I love when I hear what God's doing in your life. I hear the rough stuff too, but I love when I hear what God's doing in your life. And so many things are happening. And I'm just so excited about that. All right, just that we have that kind of money, just that you guys give that well, and you put up with a lot of you guys serving the church, and you clean for free, and you maintain for free, and you, it's just, God is just so cool. Man, they shared with the needy. They did it in unity. The early church kept meeting together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God, and they were favorably looked upon, not hypocritical. And the result, the Bible says in Acts there, that people were saved daily. People were added to their number daily and daily and daily and daily. And I just, it's so cool being part of a church that you guys are unique, I think. And not that there aren't any other churches, but I've never been a part of a church like this that just loves God, where God's working in individual lives, But I just think that's one of the, that made me in awe the last couple of weeks. And I just want you to know how much of an impact God specifically used you in a major miracle that you couldn't have orchestrated, because we had no idea when we went to meet with them that their house was for sale. No idea. The elders just felt led. Let's give them personally $7,000. I'm just amazed at that, and that's just so cool. Thank you all for being participants in that, because it didn't come out, all of it did not come out of the elders' pockets, all right? It came out of your pockets. What you guys put in the offering, you give to God. We gave God that, and just cool things happen. Acts 3. Here's an example of what was going on in their church, okay? A little bit different, but amazing things. One day, Acts chapter 3, 1 to 10. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now, a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. Because obviously, Christians are the most free with their money. People going to church are much more free with their money, with tips and stuff like that, right? On Sundays when you're out for dinner and stuff, and they see you pray, which they should, and then you give a $1 tip, okay? Christians are supposed to... So this guy knew the Christians were, you know, Christ followers, were supposed to be good people and caring. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. And when all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gates called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened. Okay? Really, really cool story. This is one of the first, you know, not one of the first miracles, but this is just, the guy sits there all the time, you know, from birth. And he's lame, he's crippled, everybody knows him. And they walk in, he wants money. He said, "We don't have money." He said, "But you know what? What I do have, I'm going to give you." And Peter just said, "Walk," you know, and grabbed him by the hand and walked out. Okay, so there's three truths about this passage, really quick truths about this passage that I want to share. One is, it starts out in Acts 3:1, as they were going. Now, what does that remind you of? As they were going, what does that remind you of? Remember the Great Commission? All right, when we read it as "go and take the gospel," no, it's "as you are going." And you know what? They obeyed as they were going. They were just going to the temple course like they always did. They didn't say, "Hey, I think I'm going to go on a mission trip today and let's go street witnessing, get my tracts and let's go." As they were going, they met a man that said, "Hey, can I have some?" Did you ever meet a man that said, "Can I have some money?" And what's your response to him? You know, and as they were going, And they said, "Listen, I don't have any money." I don't know whether they didn't have any money or whether the money, you know, some of the people I've run into, I don't give money to. Okay, they need more than money, because money's just going to buy them what got them on the street anyway. But sometimes they do need money. But they met this guy. He said, "Hey, I need money." They said, "But you know what? Look at us. We dress like, you know, Christians. We don't have a tie and coat and all that kind of stuff on. We don't have any money. Okay, but I tell you, we have something that you even need more than money. You don't know you need it, but it's even more than money. And we're going to share Christ with you. But first, get up and let's walk into the temple together." And the guy gets up and he walks in. I just love that as they were going. And we get this idea that all Christianity is raise money and go teach a good news club. No, that's what God's called Jerusha to do. But God called you to, as you are going through life, you make a difference. As you're standing in the grocery line, make a conversation. Take it from your baby into their baby, into children, into what God has done and how awesome it is that God gave us the ability to be a parent. Take it somewhere into Christianity. Christianity, I don't like that. I like that word, but take it somewhere into something that they need. Something that this man needed to walk. He needed money. He needed to walk. And they didn't have money, so they gave him something that he didn't even know he needed. Take it into a spiritual realm with people. As you're going, take your conversations there. See, Peter wouldn't have done that before. Because where were they at this point? In the temple courts. And what happened in the temple courts like 50 days ago? Peter denied them. They killed Jesus, crucified him. So he's going into the temple courts, and it's a little bit scary. But first thing he does is calls this ruckus by saying, "I don't care anymore. All right, that's basically what he's saying. You're going to see this later on. Hey, I'm a whole different person. And in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, not in the name of God, rise up and walk, because there's all kinds of gods, but in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, just so you don't get it mixed up, it wasn't this God, it wasn't that God, it was Jesus Christ and the Jesus Christ of Nazareth, not the guy from Spain, you know, Jesus. Just Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. What a cool thing. As they were going, the Great Commission, and really cool. The other thing, he didn't give money, give them what they needed. There he talked about that. He needed it more anyway. And you know what the other really cool thing in this? He lifted them up by his right hand. That's very important to know. Someone could make a whole sermon out of that, but I don't think it's worth our time. I tried, and I just put wow beside it. Like, okay, the Bible is just so detailed sometimes. It's really cool to see that cool detail. Anyway, Acts 3, 11 to 12, moving on. While the man held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. Then Peter saw this. He said to them, fellow Israel, and this is what he did. Everybody comes running in and like, oh, a miracle, and the word got out, and everybody's come rushing in. And Peter saw them coming rushing in, and they were all excited. Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we made this man walk? And I got to stop there for just a minute. You know what? It's so easy to let something like that go to your head. We are the most awesome church in Pine Grove because we gave $17,000 to a poor church. The first time we helped that church out, God really humbled me because we helped them out one other time and I met with them. And just about a year ago, I met with them. I told the men at the Bible study this. I met with them and I'm thinking, here we are, this really cool white church, you know, this rich church, and we're reaching out to you poor, helpless city people, okay? And so here's some money. And so I had this check, and I had this, somehow this idea crept into my mind that we're really cool and we're awesome for helping them out, okay? And I got there, and before I helped them out, I gave them the money right at the beginning so the conversation could be about how cool we were, you know? And so, wait, not on purpose, but as I thought about it, I went totally wrong. And I gave him that money. He said, thank you. He didn't weep or cry. And I was thinking, oh, man, you should at least be, like, tripping all over us, you know. And he started saying, I want to tell you what we do in the city. And he started telling me his ministry. And the more he told me about what they do, the more humble I got and the more convicted I was that he could have done this with or without us. He is serving God. And I felt so guilty. I went away just honestly repenting on the way home and said, I don't ever want to do that again. I don't want to get caught up by the fact that we have dollar bills, you know, we help someone out. And it's just, I learned a really good lesson that day. It was good for me to be humbled about that because I'm really proud of this church. But listen to Peter's response. I think it was really cool that he said, why do you stare at us? By our own power or godliness, we made this man walk. He said, listen, it's not us. It's not that we're really cool people and we studied miracle. We went to miracle class and here's my certificate in miraculous things, you know. No, he just said, listen, it's not about us. I just love that. He pointed him back to Christ. It's not about himself. Zechariah 4:6, great verse in Zechariah 4:6, a good verse to remember. And I like this guy because his name is Zerubbabel, and we talked about that. It's just a fun, my lips bounce when I say that. Zechariah 4:6, so he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. I think he must have been a little bit like me. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. That is a good verse to keep in mind when we start thinking we're pretty cool. You know what? Pride comes before a fall, but it's not by might. It's not by power. It's not by a really cool church. That money that we gave wasn't ours. It wasn't your money. You gave that to the Lord. God did that. Not by might, not by wisdom, not because you're smart, not because you're good looking, not because you're really cool, and not because you know all these Bible verses and you were awesome. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the word of God. And we got to remember that the things we do as a church, we do through the Spirit of God. And God gets the glory. To God be the glory. He is the rock. He is the one that works in us to will and to do according to His good purpose. It's not that we're even a good church. I love you. I love this church. But it's God that's at work in this church. And it's God that's at work in other churches around the world. It's God that's, it's not even Christian that's doing this amazing thing. It's God that it's at work in Him. And I love Peter's attitude, who could have been this proud guy that said, stop looking at us. We didn't do it. It wasn't us. It's the power, and he explains it later on. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit. Acts 3:13-15. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified His servant Jesus, who you handed Him over to be killed. You disowned Him. Now he starts getting on the people's case a little bit, okay? It's really interesting where he goes with this. He says, listen, it wasn't us. It was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers. He glorified His servant Jesus. You handed Him over to be killed. You disowned Him before Pilate. Though we had decided to let Him go, you disowned the Holy and Righteous One and asked that a murderer be released to you, Barabbas. You killed the author of life, but God raised Him from the dead, and we are witnesses of this. And so he goes back into almost what he said just right at the day of Pentecost, just a little while before this. He just goes back. I like what he says here. And what's the last four words? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We are witnesses of this. And see, this is what God asked you to do. You're going to be my, as you're going, be my witnesses. Not as you're going, be my prophets. As you're going, be this awesome mind that can argue everybody down. As you're going, just tell people what you've experienced. Just tell people what you've experienced. The problem with that is some of us really haven't experienced much. We say we're born into God's family. We say we have the Holy Spirit, but it made no difference in our lives whatsoever. And we're still just smothering them and stuffing them down. And he says, listen, we're just witnesses of this. I'm telling you what happened. Jesus, God glorified Jesus. God in flesh, He came down to earth. God came to live and die for us. You killed Him. You handed Him over. Yeah, I rejected Him and I ran away. But you're the ones that asked for Barabbas instead. You killed the author of life. But God raised Him from the dead. We're witnesses of this. He's just telling, he's not preaching a sermon. He's just telling what he knows. He's just telling the little bit of knowledge that he knows at this point. He's just saying, this is what I witnessed. We are witnesses of this. You talk about boldness in the temple courts, bringing up Jesus' name, accusing them that they killed Him and they handed Him over and all this kind of stuff. In the temple courts that just killed Jesus, awesome boldness. And see, we think boldness is being able to argue people down, and boldness is being able to present the entirety of the Scriptures. And so a lot of us don't even start, because what if they ask me a question I can't answer? Oh my gracious. Do you know how many times I'm asked questions I can't answer? I'm not even going to have you raise your hand if you ever ask me a question I couldn't answer, okay? Because we don't have time for all those hands. And it's not about answering questions. See, we just get afraid of that. What if they trap me and put me in a corner? Okay, say you're trapped and put in a corner. Big deal. You know, it happens to people all the time. It's just we're called to talk about what we know. 2 Timothy 1:7-8. We read this verse a lot. For the Spirit God gave us, the Spirit. When did God give you the Spirit? When? And how much of the Spirit did you get? All of it. And who is the Spirit? God. Okay. So where's God live now if you're a Christian? No, I mean, you guys are awesome. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid. Now, go ahead and argue with that. The Spirit God gave us doesn't make us timid. Are you timid? It's not the Spirit that made you that way. I mean, the Bible is really simple when you look at it. Yeah, most people say, oh, I could never do that. But everything God called you to do, He equipped you to do, right? He didn't call you to do what I'm doing right now, not yet, some of you. But everything He calls you to do, He equips you to do. And does the Spirit make you timid? No, it doesn't make you timid. So if you're timid, you got to do some business with God. The Spirit God gave us doesn't make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So don't be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord. Don't be ashamed, not of the whole Scriptures, but don't be ashamed of what God did for you. Don't be ashamed of the little bit that you know. I don't know much. Don't be ashamed of that. Be ready to share that. Here's the power, Acts 3:16. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man who you see now, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is listen to this. It is in Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can all see. And Acts 4:12, salvation is found in no one else, for there's no other name given among heaven whereby you must be saved. That is just so cool. He's talking about Jesus' name. He wants to make sure that people know it wasn't him, it wasn't his power, it wasn't some other God, it wasn't some, you know, other something. He just said, the name Jesus Christ. Philippians 2:9-11. Listen to the name of Christ, and we'll end with a couple verses about the name of Christ. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place, gave him a name that is above every name, that at the name of who? Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that who? Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Acts 3:17. Now, fellow Israelites, I know that you acted in ignorance. This is cool. Oh, do I want to get into this? I don't have time. Rats. Jerusalem, you took way too much time. No, you did awesome. I'm just kidding about that. I just think I'm going to stop here. And I want you to know that never, never be ashamed of the name of Jesus. Whenever you pray in public, pray in Jesus' name. And if someone asks you not to pray in Jesus' name, pray in Jesus' name. Or don't pray. That you can avoid it by don't praying. But pray in Jesus' name. Because what is a prayer that's not in Jesus' name? Who are we praying to? What God are we praying to? And our society is totally, they're not against God. They're not even against religion. They're against Jesus Christ. Because he is the way, the truth, and the life, and there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. And you know what? That sounds so close-minded. That's why we're afraid of it. Well, what about this guy and what he believes? And what about this guy? And they believe it all they can, and they sacrifice themselves, and they beat themselves, and they do penance, and they... No. The name of Jesus is to be exalted. There is no other name. And at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. What I wanted to end on is, but do it with gentleness and respect. Not in your face. Hey! Just gentleness. I can't end with just that, all right? Look at what he says in Acts 3. Now, fellow Israelites, I know that you acted in ignorance. Okay, he's not calling them. Ignorance is just not knowing what they were doing. I know you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders. But this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold all the prophets, saying Messiah should suffer. And I want to end 2 Timothy 2:23. Don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, because you know that they produce quarrel. And the Lord's servant, see, don't get involved in words and foolish and stupid arguments, and you see things on Facebook, and you respond, and it gets, you know, just stay away from foolish and stupid arguments. The Lord's servants must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Opponents must be gently instructed in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to the knowledge of the truth. And they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will. I want to tell you something. We are called to be gentle. We are called to not compromise, to be bold in the Spirit, through the power of the Spirit, because most of us aren't bold in our own, to be bold through the power of the Spirit. But do not compromise on God, the solid rock. No matter what society says, no matter what their cure is, no matter what they say, you go to God's Word and you stand on this. But in your arguments and in your prayers and in your dealing with witnessing, you don't say, man, you guys are all stupid. I came to know the truth. No, no. Gentleness and respect. 1 Peter 3, I'll end with this. I keep saying that, and I'm going to go one more. And I will end, because that's where I decided. 1 Peter 3:15-16. In your hearts, revere Jesus Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Okay, you understand what that's saying. As you're going, just be ready to give an answer for the hope you have. Why did you accept Christ as your Savior? You don't have to give a theology lesson. You don't have to give a sermon. You don't know all, oh, here's my pastor's website, and you can like listen to his like 18-hour sermon, you know. No. Do two things. Revere Christ as Lord. Don't compromise. Christ the solid rock. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that's in you. But do this with what? Gentleness and respect. I think that's so sweet, isn't it? You got to love someone that knows what they believe, that won't compromise, but doesn't think they're really cool. But someone that says, you know what? I'll talk to you if you want. I'll share my faith with you if you want. And this is what it is really quickly. And that's just what I believe. And that's, I gave my life to Christ. And these are some things he did in my life. And if you don't want that, you're really stupid and you're going to hell. No, that's not gentleness and respect. Gentleness and respect is, and I'm just going to pray for you. I really love you. And you just present the message of Christ and don't push it down their throat. But be ready to do it. Be ready to share Christ. Keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. See, we're going to start to see a whole new side of Peter and how he just backed down. So I know you guys didn't realize, mean to do it, but this is the truth. And the truth is in Jesus Christ, and he's just becoming a lovable guy. He'd be a good guy for you. He's probably older than you were, though. Sorry about that. But let's pray. God, you're an amazing God. Thank you for the kindness. Thank you for the transformation of a life that Peter had. He's bold through the Holy Spirit in his life. But he's also gentle. And he's also kind. And he reminds me a lot of you because you're alive and living inside of him. Help us to be that kind of person, Lord. Help us to not be ashamed. Help us to, as we go, be a witness. This is what God did for me, but helps to do it with gentleness and respect. And thank you that we have a spirit, not of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and of self-discipline. Helps to share Christ like we would respect if someone shared with us. You're an amazing God. Thank you for this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.